Alleluia! Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia!
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whom truly to know is everlasting life, grant us so perfectly to know your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may steadfastly follow his steps in the way that leads to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
Our first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them, step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, "Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved." And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God? When they heard this, they were silenced. And they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the book of Revelation. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also, he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true."
Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
At the Last Supper, when Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. See, I am making all things new. What a magnificent summary of the message of Easter, if not actually the whole story of salvation at the heart of our faith. It almost has the power of a creedal statement. God is making all things new, and God wants us to be part of that work of bringing newness, new life and vitality into the world. This is, without doubt, the good news that we are called to share. The phrase itself comes to us from a surprising source, though, the book of Revelation, which many of us know only as a dizzying fever dream full of frightening beasts and apocalyptic horsemen. Here, though, in this passage, the vision of John of Patmos is downright comforting, offering us a glimpse of a time that is not quite here yet, but is in the process of arriving, a time when God will dwell among mortals, wiping away every tear and bringing an end to sorrow, pain, and even death itself. In our present reality, however, things are a bit different. We live in a time when so much change is happening so quickly and often with such devastating effect that the idea of making all things new can feel risky, even dangerous. We know that things aren't right the way they are, but we fear where change might take us. For this reason, it is so important that we find positive, hopeful examples of what it looks like when God makes all things new. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles is one such example. Peter's divinely inspired vision helped him understand that what God is in the process of creating is a healing and liberating new reality. God is asking Peter to participate in creating a world where people see each other as equals, siblings in one great human family. This is God's dream for us, which sadly does not stop it from feeling like a nightmare to those who wish to cling to the relative safety of the status quo. Now, I want us to be careful not to let any latent anti-Semitism creep into our interpretation of this passage. Dietary laws, which is what Peter's dream is about, at least at one level, dietary laws were a common and important way to distinguish among different groups of people in the ancient world. And we're not really so different today. I know people who would rather go hungry than eat at McDonald's, while other people I know will make vicious fun of anyone who takes the radical step of consuming kale. This isn't just about personal preference or health concerns. Customs and beliefs about what we should eat and with whom we should share a meal continue to have deep cultural significance. There's a reason that politicians on the campaign trail make a point of having photo ops in ice cream parlors and at the state fair food stands. They want to show off how folksy and relatable and ordinary they are, and certain foods communicate that. Now, I realize that there are bigger inclusion issues for us to worry about, but my guess is the odds are heavily against our country having a vegan president in my lifetime. The emotional resonance and social taboos of eating the wrong thing with the wrong people is hard to escape. I still remember my first day of ninth grade in a brand new school, trying to figure out what to do when I entered the cafeteria for the first time. I was okay in the various classrooms, but the cafeteria was terrifying. I literally did not know a single person, and I could not figure out where to sit. Do you remember ever feeling like that? It's agonizing because it feels like what you eat and where you sit and who is at the table with you that first day is going to define your entire high school experience, even if you just ended up there because every other table was full of people who refused to make eye contact. High school can be really rough. And perhaps it sounds silly, but I honestly believe that God does not want us to make societies that are structured like a high school cafeteria. As Peter puts it, the Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. How utterly radical that is. No distinctions, no us and them. Just beloved community everywhere you look, with everyone welcomed, accepted, and belonging. How healing that would be. Last week, I was blessed to be at a clergy conference led by a remarkable Anglican priest named Michael Lapsley. His story is also about God making all things new. As a young man, Father Michael moved to South Africa for university and soon began to work with the movement to end apartheid. Eventually, he was expelled from the country for his activism, as were so many others. But he continued his liberation work, including collaborating with the then-banned African National Congress. In 1990, while still living in exile, he was sent a letter bomb, and he lost both his hands and the sight in one eye in the explosion. Despite this devastating personal tragedy, his work for liberation and justice continued. Only now he realized that healing from trauma was a necessary part of that work. He couldn't just be a freedom fighter. He had to become a healer. In 1996, when South Africa's Truth and Reconciliation Commission began, Father Michael organized a Healing of Memories workshop to run parallel with it, which eventually led him to found the organization he still leads. Our time together last week was far from depressing. It was a time of storytelling, listening, asking questions, shedding tears, and quite a bit of laughter. His very presence felt like a healing balm, not just because he shies away, not because he shies away from the hard truths of our terribly fractured and wounded world, but because he embraces truth, the truth of history and of our broken humanity, with a generous and open spirit. Father Michael is a living example of how God makes all things new. He says, and I believe him, that he holds no bitterness or hatred in his heart over the letter bomb and the damage it caused to his body. His spirit is fully intact. In fact, it is overflowing with love and compassion. He sees no distinctions between people based on ideology or skin color or country of origin. He works with people from both sides of various conflicts, with soldiers and survivors, with victims and victimizers, because he knows in his very core that we are all equally in need of and deserving of God's love, forgiveness, and healing. So, where do we need God's help in making all things new? And where does God need our help? One of the things I learned from Father Michael is that any single act of healing, no matter how small, contributes to the healing of the whole, just as any single act of violence or injustice contributes to the wounding of the whole. Our focus can be on healing the wounds of racism or the trauma of gun violence or the ways humankind is wounding the earth. It all moves us closer to the same goal of healing and renewing the world. Perhaps truthfully, though, there's always only one place to begin this work, which is within our own hearts. Father Michael said more than once that those who want to help with the healing of others must be on their own healing journey. Healing is an inside job. If this sounds daunting, it may help to remember that it is God's healing, God's love, and God's forgiveness that are promised to us. It is God, ultimately, who is making all things new. We do have a role to play, each in our own way. We are called to be instruments, agents, bearers of his love. We are called to love one another with humility, knowing that ultimately all love is a gift from God. My siblings in Christ, our healing journey can't wait. The stakes are too high. God is making all things new, and that includes our own hearts and souls if we will let God do that work. We contribute to this when we tell the truth, first and foremost, the truth about ourselves, the ways we have been hurt and the ways we have hurt others, but also the ways we have been loved and nurtured, healed and forgiven, and how we try to offer those gifts to others. As Father Michael might put it, we are all beautiful messes living in a beautiful, messed up world. This Easter season, let us remember that salvation is not out there somewhere in a future time and place. Rather, God is bringing salvation home, here, to us, because the home of God is among us, dwelling within us, and making us truly God's people, forgiven, healed, and renewed. Amen.
Please stand as you are able and join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the Church and for the world.
Holy Jesus, Anointed One, by your grace we are able to see your living presence through the willing eyes of our souls. Even as we acknowledge our moments of doubt, grant us the faith to follow your word and witness to everlasting life in your name. We pray especially for Bishop Megan, our parish clergy, our staff, and all the lay leaders of this church. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Holy Jesus, Anointed One, fill all those in positions of authority with the courage and humility necessary to triumph over the temptations of power and to govern with equity and reverence for all people and all creation. We pray especially for the President and Congress of the United States, the Governor of California, and our city and county officials. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Holy Jesus, Anointed One, restore wholeness to all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, and refresh the energy of those who give them care. We now join together to pray for those in need, especially those on our parish prayer list.
We pray for all those affected by violent storms and tornadoes this past week, and for all victims of violence everywhere.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Holy Jesus, Anointed One, we pause in this moment to offer you our heartfelt thanksgiving for all the blessings of this life. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Holy Jesus, Anointed One, You have broken the power of earthly death. Now bring light to the darkness of those who grieve, as all of heaven is alive with joy, receiving all those we love into eternal bliss. We pray for the repose of the souls of Susan Yeomans and Antoinette Lugo, and for their family and friends who mourn. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Lord God in Christ, who was and is to come, release us from the limits of our anxious minds, and in so doing, free our souls to seek our fulfillment in you. We ask all this through the wisdom of the Holy Spirit and the unwavering love of our Creator, who together with you reign as one God in glory everlasting.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. It's so good to see so many of you here today. We have our yellow announcement sheets, as usual, have a lot of information, and I hope you all are also receiving our weekly e-news that comes out on Fridays from the office. If you're not, please sign up for that. If you're not, that might also mean that you're a newcomer. We are having newcomers brunch today after this service over in room 6 and 7. We are not putting any kind of definition about who is a newcomer. If you want to get more involved, if you want to learn a little bit more about the church, or maybe you've been here a while but you want to meet some new people, please feel free to come join us for the brunch today. If you're really new, we have welcome bags, goodie bags for you, but you have to raise your hand so that our usher can come around and give you one. I promise we won't embarrass you or make you stand up in church or do anything like that. And there's chocolate in those bags. So give me yours if you don't want it. This season we seem to have a lot of really good opportunities for people to get involved. We've got the Project Restart is happening. You guys did a great job of taking all the tags that we needed you to take, and now the thing is to get those. Janet, there's one more over that way. Over that way. Sorry. The job is to get those products that you promised to purchase back to church so that we can get them into the bins. So ideally, if you didn't bring them today, bring them next Sunday, which is, we're hoping to be the last day to collect them. We can also accept them in the church office during our open hours. So please, please, please get those back so we can fill up those bins. It's really cool. Every Tuesday, there's a meal for Davis Community Meals and Housing that happens here Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. But this Tuesday, we're trying to gather a group just of St. Martin's people to volunteer. Another way to get to know others in your community and to do something fun and useful together. But we need a couple more people, so I hope you will sign up for that. Then there's just all kinds of stuff coming up, like Pentecost, where we usually have lots of people showing off their language skills, and Vacation Bible School is coming up, and on and on. Next weekend, I know it's Memorial Day weekend and some people go away, but I hope if you're in town, you will not only come to church on Sunday, but bring a friend. We're going to have a wonderful guest preacher, Peyton Hoig, who is the program director for the Center for Spirituality in Nature. Some of us have been involved with Sing gatherings over the last few years, and he is the person that has been our leader in that. He's part of a national movement. He's a really great speaker. So he'll be here on Sunday. If you come to this 10 o'clock service, we're also blessing bicycles. So bring your, ride your bike here if you can. If you can't, bring your bicycle helmet or something for us to bless. We'll do a rogation procession, and it should just be a really fun Sunday. And then on Monday, out at the ranch, we're having a Sing gathering, Spirituality and Nature gathering, that Peyton will lead. So it's kind of like getting the best of the best out here. So I really, really hope that we'll have a lot of people show up for that. Okay. I think those are the main things. Did we have celebrations or milestones? We had, at the 8 o'clock service, we found out that one of our members has just become a great grandmother. That was very exciting. And we're hoping to see some graduations coming up soon. Is there one over here? Your birthday was Tuesday. Yay! Happy birthday. Sarah. Oh. Your birthday was Monday. You guys are almost birthday twins. Yes.
Today is my 74th birthday.
Woo!
Today's my birthday.
Another birthday. Wow. This is great. This is great. Okay. Well, we like to pray for each other whenever we have these celebrations and milestones. So if you turn to page 5 in your bulletin, we will pray together. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We are having communion at the altar rails today. Do remember that when you come forward, you can choose which side. It's still the same sides in terms of intinction or dipping on this side, and the bread and the wine being separate on this side. There will be an usher here who will let you know if it's time to go take a place along the altar rail. You can stand, you can kneel, but do try to fill in from the back and move toward the front once the usher says it's time to go find your spot. Our bread is homemade, it's vegan, it's gluten-free. We try to make it so that everybody can participate in this shared communion meal together. You can also come forward and cross your arms, indicating that you would like a blessing instead. Bless you. Or if you can't come forward to the altar rail, just let an usher know so that we can bring it to you. And try, when you're leaving the altar rail, to come back around the same way you came in, as opposed to walking around behind where the pipes are for the organ. I think that's everything. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
You.
it is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. But chiefly are we bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the true Paschal Lamb who has sacrificed for us and has taken away the sin of the world. By his death he has destroyed death, and by his arising to life again, he has won for us everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. For in these last days you sent Jesus to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In Christ you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In Christ you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Savior, Jesus Christ, took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, Jesus took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember Christ's death. We proclaim Christ's resurrection, we await Christ's coming in glory, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Savior of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, through whom we are acceptable to you, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country, where with Blessed Martin and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your children through Jesus Christ our Savior, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And now first in Spanish and then in English we pray as our Savior Christ has taught us. Padre nuestro que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre. Venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación y líbranos del mal, porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Eternal God, you have graciously accepted us as living members of our Savior Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Savior. Amen. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia.